God has made us what we are, and in our union with Christ Jesus, he has created us for a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared for us to do. You will see in your bulletin that there's sort of some notes to the sermon. It's not the sermon, but it's just some background notes if you would like to look at that and meditate on it later. I think that, first, you know that your congregation is the message. The fact that you love and care for each other is the message. And, you know, yak, 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 on Sunday, what I do is it is only helpful if it's helpful. If it's not, it's nothing. The message this morning from Ephesians is that it is the work of God. But I want to say this first, that each of us have in our mind the things that we would do if we could. Like, if I could, you know, get up at 4 a.m. and pray, if I could be patient with my mother-in-law, if I could just focus and study the Bible like I know I should, if I could only organize my life so that I could go to the Bible study and be with other people, if I could stop swearing, drinking, smoking, carousing, stepping out on my spouse. And these are all very good goals. We would be better people for it. But this is the thing I think that the scripture is saying to us this morning, is that even if you could do everything that you would like to do for the Lord, you would still be empty if you didn't rest in him. We are not chosen by God for his mercy because of inequalities of our hearts and lives. In where I grew up in Japan, you invite people to church and they say, I can't go to church, I'm not a good person. It's like, that's the whole point. It's the bad people. The bad people come to church. And in Japan, that's true. If you have mental health issues, if you have some kind of crisis in your life, you have economic trouble, then they're like, okay, it's all right. We understand. You're a weak person. Go ahead, go to church, get the help. You know, the rest of us are strong. We handle things ourselves. So it can kind of go either way. But we are, you all are marvelous people. You're wonderful people. But you weren't chosen because of any quality of your life that's any different from anybody else that you meet in your life. We were all like everyone else on this earth, doing what seemed best to us. That's what we do. Human beings do what seems to get the results that we want. Or from God's eyes, our best and sincere efforts were not enough. We were operating within a system of death, and Christ drew us out to be a part of the kingdom. If you've ever run a marathon, which is a really dumb thing to do, the only reason for a marathon is that your side lost or won in a war and you have to run 26.72 miles to give the news to your king. That's a good reason to run a marathon. Every other reason is really, there's something wrong with you. My son runs marathons. There's something wrong with you if you run a marathon. But if you were so strange that you were going to run a marathon, there's something called the elite runners. And the elite runners are not by the lottery or whatever it is that they choose you, but you achieved a certain time in the previous running so that you're on the elite. You start early and the hoi polloi don't get in your way and trip you up, you know, all the people just running with their strollers and stuff like that. They don't trip you up. But the kingdom of God We are not elite runners. We're chosen because of our past performance, something like that. No. We are just allowed in because God has chosen us. Now, there's a problem there, and we're going to get into the third one about not being chosen. But we're just going to say, here we are. Here you are on a sunny, bright Sunday. Let's say that something drew you here. Let's say that you're chosen this morning. Our lives count for a lot because God has made sure to put us in a position where we can show kindness and mercy to those around us in the way that God has shown kindness and mercy to us. No matter what our circumstances, no matter our past mistakes, no matter the limited resources that we have of our mind, our body, our physical circumstances, today's scripture and other places in the Bible tell us that God has prepared good works for us. Sometimes we become aware of God's leading and we reach out to do things. Oh, this is something I should be doing. And sometimes we know nothing about it. And we look back and we realize that God has used us in some way. We had no idea of when we were living it. Does that make us robots programmed to do certain tasks without our conscious involvement? I am following the Lord today. Like the difference between the trolley car and a bus, you know, where you're on the rails and you, if something blocks the rails, you can't move past it. Today, Rob and his family are doing the bell choir, boom, 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 at the Ardmore, it's called Jenkintown. It's Grace Presbyterian Church in Jenkintown. And I know that you had a bell choir here. But if you can't read words, you can't read maybe you know the alphabet, but you can't read words, and you can't read music, and you can't focus. I'm talking about children, but I'm talking about old people too, about me and the rest of us. There's a children's bell choir. I don't know if you had one here. I saw them do it once. It's cards with colors. And the children ring the bells. They don't know music. They don't know nothing. But you get a group of people together, children together, and with color-coded cards, they have a red one, a yellow one, a blue one. If they know the colors, they can perform a song together. And they can enjoy hearing a piece of music that they played in, even though they have no idea how to read music or what they're doing. The cards enable the child to do something they could not plan it. They could not accomplish it on their own. But they're not being controlled, but they're being empowered. They may hear that music and think, wow, I didn't know I could. Maybe they'll be in a bell choir with the brass bells where they have to read the music. Or maybe they'll take up an instrument because then they understand, I can be a part of making music with a group. However, if all of life were directed by color-coded cards, the child would never grow up into adulthood and never know maturity. And some of us are still looking for the color-coded cards to know how to operate in life. We don't have any judgment of our own. We don't have any discernment, insight into what God is doing in our lives. This is why I oppose the practice of stopping the car when a school bus lets off children. That is the most foolish law that I know. It teaches children to run across the street without looking. It is a pernicious law. They're taught, don't think, just run across the street. Now, I do. I stop for the school buses. But to be grown up, then, we have to begin to use our judgment and use our maturity. The good works that God has prepared for us are only robotic If we do not agree with God's goals, if you would like to do good, but somehow just can't focus, don't know what you're doing, then God will start you off on the color-coded cards, and he will teach you how to do good, how to love God with your heart, how to actually notice people, and how to think about the world in a way that gives glory to God. How about the rest of the world? And this is the part where if I'm chosen, then does that mean that they're not? And this week on our Wednesday Bible study, we're going to be looking at the cathedral in Geneva where John Calvin had his ministry. And that's one of the problems that people have with the Reformed theology, with predestination. It's all very well. Oh, thank you, Lord, for choosing me. But what does that mean for my neighbor? I do not have all the answers on this, but we will say that the door is always open. The door to God's kingdom is always open. We always invite others to consider and know Christ. And the scriptures tell us that whoever experiences a desire to come, by that token, can know that they are called. So when you're speaking to people, say, would you care to know more? Would you care to know the scriptures? You can always invite it. It's not up to us to decide, oh, you know, I can see you're not really a called person. And they're going to be ahead of you in heaven, so just be humble about that. We are not condemned for anything that we have done, nothing. But we will be condemned for not coming to Christ. And Romans 8:1. Revelation 22:17, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Romans 10:13, quoting Joel 2, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Matthew 8, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So, first of all, we can always invite other people. We are not the doorkeepers of the kingdom of heaven. So we just always say, you're welcome, you're welcome. That's all that we know. The second thing I will say is that the Bible puts Christ as a central figure of knowing the Creator God. Christ is the decisive presence for passing from death to life now, not at our physical death. In John 10, Jesus says, there are other sheep who are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. And that is referring to the Gentiles. That's myself. As far as I know, I'm a Gentile. And being allowed to enter the kingdom of God. We are told that Christ is the way and that God is merciful and righteous. Basically, what we need to know is that everyone is invited and that you are not the judge. God is a merciful and righteous God. In Genesis 18, Abraham bargains with God to save a city filled with unrighteous people. He says, don't destroy them. How could you do that? He says, okay, if there's 50 people, save it. God says, since you have asked me, yes. So then Abraham thinks, you know, there's not 50 righteous people in that city. Okay, 40. Then he goes, he says 45. And then he says 40. And then he says 30. And then Abraham's like, 20. And he goes, no, there's not even 20 people looking to the Lord. So he says, 10. This is last offer. So God says, okay, since you asked. Abraham says to God, surely you won't kill the innocent with the guilty. That is impossible. The judge of all the earth must act justly. God says, that's what, all right. You think you're more merciful than me? Okay, I'll go with your scheme. But there aren't even 10 people. The judge is God who is merciful and just. And when we stand before God, God expects us to plead for the lives of those around us. Do you understand that? Your job is to plead with God. Look, maybe they don't know the scriptures, but look at them. Look how they're loving they are. Your job is an advocate, not the judge of people. That is how we should spend our lives. So there's a part that we don't understand, and it's really painful. Like, for example, this past Wednesday, for the Around the World tour with the Lenten series, we're doing Africa. I mean, look at me. I can't speak much about Africa, right? I was scared. It's like, I have so much guilt and condemnation for, you know, I don't even think there are such a thing as white people, but that the European colonization and the privileges that I have had that I was not aware of throughout my life, where you become paralyzed by guilt and shame. God somehow is asking us, you are not your own judge. You are not the judge of the whole earth. You must trust that I am righteous and I am good. In John 21, Jesus tells Peter that whether John, his friend, lives a long or short life, whether he'll be alive when Christ returns or not, has nothing to do with the call of God on Peter's life. Jesus says to Peter, what is that to you? Follow me. And that is the call. There is no worrying about other people that gives you a right not to give your entire life to Christ. Well, I was worried about these other people, and I didn't. It's like, what is that to you? You must stand in your own shoes. You must take account for your own life, not worry about what God is doing and other. I mean, we are our brother's keeper, but that's a different thing. This is good news. No one's good or bad fortune can interfere with God's good plan for us. So it's like, oh, I wanted that prize, but they got it. That will never happen in the kingdom of God. And it's bad news because we won't really understand the suffering of others or be able to explain it to ourselves or to them. We can only weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. God wants to extend mercy, and he expects us to know that and depend on it in our own lives as well as in the lives of others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.